Psalm 124 will be our scripture reading and our meditation. And we'll borrow just a few verses from Psalm 125 in the sermon, but we'll just read together Psalm 124, a fitting psalm to meditate upon as we close another year together. Psalm 124 will begin with a superscript at the very top, which is also inspired scripture. Hear God's holy word, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Well, beloved, have you ever had moments where you ask yourself, what if things went very differently in my life? You know, maybe you stayed up at night asking yourself those what ifs. You know, what if I had taken a different job? What if I had pursued a different career path? What if I had gotten married earlier in life or later in life? What if I hadn't said those things that caused that fight with my spouse? What if I hadn't moved to this area? Or what if I did move to that area? There's so many things that we could ask. What if? And those kinds of questions are not always good. You know, we don't want to live in the past and question what could have been. But we want to live in the present and trust in God's guidance over our lives, even through our bad decisions as well as our good ones. But this psalm does call us to ask a certain what if question. And the question is, what if the Lord had not been at our side during our trials? What if the Lord had left us to ourselves in those moments of our greatest need? You know, the psalm wants us to ask that question so that we can see that without the Lord, as God's people, we are utterly helpless and vulnerable. Without the Lord at our side, we would fall and be defeated in a moment by our enemies. But with the Lord at our side, we are strengthened and we are sustained day by day and year after year. You know, perhaps in this past year of your life, you could think of particular situations where you say, if the Lord were not at my side during that time of this past year, how different my life would be today. As we journey on into another year, it's good to look back with praise and to consider how the Lord has been with us. Because as we remember God's faithfulness to us in the past, it gives us strength and confidence in the present to live for Him. As we look back to God's faithfulness to us in the past, it gives us strength and confidence in the present to live for Him. And as we look at this song, we want to do those two things. We want to look back, not only in our lives, but at the Word of God, at God's faithfulness to His people. And we want to look forward to the days ahead with confidence, knowing that our God is indeed our helper. First, I invite you to look with me at verses 1 through 7 as we look back with the psalmist, as we look back with praise. And this will be the bulk of our meditation. But notice here in the first part of the psalm, we see how the Lord has sustained His people. Notice how David opens. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then he gives the three thens. David here is summoning God's people, Israel, to truly consider how the Lord has sustained them. Notice he says, let Israel now say. In other words, he's saying, people of God, Israel, testify to the fact that the Lord has been at your side. Let Israel give a testimony to the fact that God has been with us. Martin Luther put it this way, this repetition stirreth up the people to more thankfulness unto God for His gracious deliverance, and amplifies the dangers which they had passed, whereby we are taught how to think of our troubles and afflictions, lest the sense and feeling of God's grace vanish from our minds. You know, throughout the Bible, one of the key actions that God calls his people to is remembrance. Remembrance. In the fourth commandment, when it's explained in Deuteronomy 5, the Lord says, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm." And in the New Testament, in Ephesians 2, verse 12, Paul writes to the Gentile Christians, like you and me, who had just come into the church, he said, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And here David is calling Israel to remember the Lord's grace. And notice, he shows them what would have happened if the Lord had not been at their side. He gives two ifs, and then he gives three thens. And he shows them what would have happened if God had left them. Notice the first then in verse 3. If the Lord was not at our side, then we would have been swallowed up alive. Here David speaks of conflict with other men who rose up against Israel, and these men are portrayed as a great creature that can swallow you up alive. And they're portrayed like a sea monster or a dragon. You know, kids grow up encountering dragons and sea monsters at an early age in books and in film that's made for children. You could think of Smaug from The Hobbit. You could think of the great sea serpent from the Chronicles of Narnia. And in these stories, these great creatures usually represent the forces of darkness, right? A dragon can consume the entire village in just a few breaths. A sea monster can swallow you up alive, even your entire ship, with one gulp. And here David is saying, the enemies of Israel would have consumed the people of God like a dragon, would have swallowed them up alive like a great sea creature, if the Lord were not at their side. Now think about that. Imagine if Israel was left to Pharaoh and his army as they were going towards the Red Sea in the Exodus. Imagine if Israel was left to the Canaanites in the time of Joshua. Imagine if they were left to the Midianites in the time of Gideon, or to the Assyrians in the time of Hezekiah. In each one of those situations, Israel was vulnerable, helpless, and they would have been swallowed up alive by their enemies if the Lord were not at their side. And David here, he goes on to speak of the enemies, not only in terms of a great creature that could swallow you alive, but also in terms of floodwaters, you notice. Floodwaters that can overwhelm you. Verse 4, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. In Scripture, the waters, the flood waters, the mighty waters, are often associated with trials, often associated with God's judgment even. You know, think of Noah during the time of the flood when the waters of God poured from the heavens and from the earth and flooded the earth, and Noah went through that trial but was kept safe by God. Think of Israel again at the Red Sea as the judgment waters fell upon Pharaoh and his host, but God's people were delivered. In each one of those trials, if God was not at his people's side showing them his grace, then they would have been overwhelmed. They would have been overwhelmed by the mighty judgment waters. If the first image has to do with conflict with men who rise up against you like a wild beast, the second image also brings to mind those sudden trials that could fall upon our lives like a flood. You know, when our family lived in California, we experienced flash floods. Now, flash flood can occur very quickly, in a few minutes or in hours, when extreme downpour comes with rain, or if a dam breaks, then these flash floods can occur. And these flash floods can be so powerful that they will take out entire trees and they will destroy buildings and bridges in a moment. They come out of nowhere. They're unexpected. Well, like these floods, life's bitter providences can come upon us in a moment. You know, one day things are going so well. The kids are so obedient. Job is going good. Marriage looks good. But the next day, it seems like something happens and everything is turned upside down. Like a flood, these things can fall upon us in this life. You think of Job and the sudden calamity that fell upon him. And perhaps you've experienced a flash flood in this past year of your life. You know, the sudden death of a loved one. A sudden illness that came upon you or that came upon a loved one. a layoff from a job, a season of depression that just seemed to fall upon you, where darkness didn't seem to just go away. You know, all of these trials can be like a flood that quickly fall upon us. But David says, because the Lord has been at our side, the waters that we have gone through, the waters that we have experienced, have not overwhelmed us and consumed us in the end, even though they feel overwhelming in the moment. David here speaks about the trials that we go through as the floods come upon us in this life. And beloved, you may have been tossed around this past year by the floodwaters. You may have been tossed around by the trials of this life. But isn't it true that we have not drowned in them, that we have not been utterly consumed by them, that God has not left us destitute and without hope in those trials, but that he has been at our side? Now think of Paul's language. Again, the Apostle Paul, who knew suffering, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 9, "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Because of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ, he has been at our side, even when the waters have come upon us." And at the end of this year, we want to reflect upon how the Lord has been at our side, even in our greatest trials. You know, what has been the most difficult thing that you have experienced in this past year? Think about it. How have you seen God at your side in that moment and in the various moments of this past year in your greatest need? We can testify, all of us, to the different ways that God has been with us. He's helped us in our own battles against sin. He's restored us. He's heard our prayers. He's healed us from various sicknesses. He's helped us as we've raised children. He's answered our prayers for strength day after day, even when it's exhausting. He's helped us in the workplace. He's helped us in our marriages. He's been with us. He's ministered to us in so many different ways. And today we want to look back and remember God's faithfulness to us, not only as displayed in the scriptures, but also in our own lives, so that we could find strength in the present to live for him. You know, as we read this psalm, we're reminded that the Christian life is a difficult walk. To be a follower of Jesus is difficult. There are enemies that we battle against. There are sudden floods that seek to overwhelm us. And the psalms especially are honest about these things. You know, sometimes I think Christians can be viewed as people who are disconnected from reality. Maybe your neighbor views you as a Christian as someone who doesn't really know real struggle because you're a Christian. It means you're separated from the real troubles of this life. But the psalmist tells us the opposite is true, right? Christians are painfully aware to the ugliness of sin because we see it in here and we see it around us. We're reminded in this psalm that the path of the Christian is falling in the path of Jesus, taking up our cross and walking in the same path of suffering leading to glory. But in all of that, the Lord is with us. And that's why David says in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord." See, David, when he reflects upon God's deliverance and God's faithfulness, it moves David to praise. And he summons the people of Israel to praise. "Blessed be the Lord." Why? "He has not given us as prey to their teeth." In other words, he has not given us over to our enemies. He has not caused us to be drowned in the trials. He's delivered us. David praises the Lord for his sustaining hand. "We have escaped," he says, "like a bird from the fowlers." In other words, we were trapped. We were held captive. We were in a desperate situation. But the Lord set us free. We're free. We've escaped. Blessed be the Lord. You know, how is it that we escape? How is it that we know that the Lord is at our side? You know, perhaps you're wondering that today in your own trials. You know, every day we go through something. And as we go into another year of unknown things filled with more trials that we're not even aware of, how can we know for certain, absolute certainty, that God is at our side, that he loves us and is for us? How can we know that? It's only because of Jesus. Only because of Jesus. You know, as we look back, we must remember that place where God's love was secured for us at the cross. The enemies of Jesus surrounded him, and the wild beasts wanted to devour him and to consume his life. And the scriptures tell us that the waters of God's judgment fell upon Jesus when he was at the cross because he was taking our sins on himself and he was suffering the very judgment of God for us. Jesus told his disciples after he had already been baptized by John the Baptist, he said this, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." Beloved, Jesus was overwhelmed by the trial of God's wrath as he hung there on the cross for us, so that you can know in the coming year and right now that God is for you, that God loves you, and that he is at your side. Think of Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He wrote this, another if statement. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can you hear the echo of Psalm 124? If God is for us, who can be against us? And how do you know for certain God is for you? Paul says this, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? See, as we look back, beloved, supremely to the cross, the place of God's love for us, we see that God is indeed at our side. And that fills our hearts with praise. Blessed be the Lord. We have not been given over to our enemies. The snare has been broken. We are free. This not only fills our hearts with praise, but this is what gives you and I the confidence right now and in the coming year to live for God. And we see that here, lastly, in the final verse, in verse 8. We not only look back with praise as we remember God's faithfulness to his people in our lives and supremely in Christ, but we can look forward with confidence as verse 8 reminds us. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, you may have noticed from the superscript, that very top part of the psalm, that this psalm is in a group of psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And many scholars agree that these psalms are connected with the Israelites' journey to Jerusalem for the various feasts that were there. And so, in one sense, these groups of psalms are called pilgrim psalms. They were the psalms of God's people as they made their journey together to their destination. And so these are psalms for us. We're marching on to the heavenly Zion. We're going to heaven. And these psalms we take upon our lips to find the confidence that we need in our pilgrim journey. And this final verse highlights where our strength is, where our confidence is as we move forward in this life. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and of the earth. That's our confession. You know, in our worship service, going back to the Reformation time, we have that part in our service called the Votum, or the Declaration of Dependence, where we say together, as we said before the service, our help is in the name of the Lord. And in this confession, we're declaring that the God who has shown himself faithful to us in the past will continue to be our help in our pilgrim journey. This confession in Psalm 124, you notice, it's not made from a person lying in a hammock on the beach in Hawaii. This confession, our help is in the name of the Lord, is made from the context of deliverance. We have escaped. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Each week, beloved, as we come to worship and we begin our service with these words, we're confessing once again that God has brought us safely through our trials and that he has been at our side in another week. He has sustained us that week as we cared for children, as we went out to work, as we ministered to others, as we fought against our sins, as we battled all of the different enemies that come about us in life. When we make that declaration of dependence, we're saying, Lord, you have been at our side and we've come to bless your holy name. And that's what we want to do as we enter into another year, to recognize how the Lord has been at our side and to bless his holy name. This confession gives us great confidence as we go into another year. All of us want some kind of help in the new year. We want some kind of security because as pilgrims, we could feel often vulnerable and helpless. And this verse tells us where we're finding our security and our strength. In the words of Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What kind of helper is God? This is where I want to borrow just a few verses from Psalm 125. Notice the first two verses of Psalm 125 give us two pictures of how God is our helper. Notice verse 1 of Psalm 125. It says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." You know, that verse there highlights how the Lord is the strength of his people. He makes us like a mountain that cannot be moved. Now, that language of not being moved doesn't mean you won't struggle in life. It doesn't mean that you won't stumble in many ways in the new year. But it means because of God's grace to you in Jesus Christ, you will not be moved from the grip of his hand. You will not fall altogether away from the Lord. Again, think of the people of Israel who are receiving these words. You know, their history was, as one scholar put it, a teeter-totter kind of history. You know, children, you know what a teeter-totter is at the playground? It goes up and down and up and down. Well, that was Israel's history. They were up one day as they passed through the Red Sea gloriously, praising the Lord, and they were down the very next day as they grumbled against God, wondering where their provision would come from. They were up one day swearing allegiance to the Lord at Mount Sinai, "All this we will do," and they were down the next day worshiping a golden calf. And that's your story. That's my story. But in all of that, God remained faithful to his people because of his steadfast love, his chesed, his love that stuck to his people with super glue. The same love was shown to the New Testament disciples who were also not always faithful, who abandoned Jesus at the hour of his greatest need. And you think of how Jesus prayed for his disciples, especially Peter. "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. I have prayed for you that you might not be moved from my hand." You see, true stability now and in the new year, is for those who trust in the name of the Lord. Not those who trust in their own performance, not those who trust in their own merits, but those who trust in the Lord will not be moved. The second picture, lastly, notice, is not only that we are made mountains strong, but notice verse 2, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore." This metaphor here highlights how the Lord is the protector of his people. He not only gives us stability, but also security. We're not only made strong like a mountain, but the Lord surrounds us like mountains on every side. What stability and confidence is ours who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, beloved, not only died for us to secure us in God's love, but he also prayed for us for these things. He prayed in John 17, "Holy Father, I don't ask that you take them out of the world," speaking of his disciples, "but that you keep them from the evil one, that you protect them, that you uphold them." See, Jesus has prayed for strength, and he has prayed for our protection. And the Father hears the prayers of his beloved Son, and he will answer them. Therefore, the Lord will be our strength, and he will be our protection as we go into another year. As the psalmist says, he will be our protection from this time forth and forevermore. His care for us is ongoing. You don't have to make sure you renew it every year like a protection plan. It goes with you into each and every year because his love towards his people is steadfast. Some of you know the name, I'm sure, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian and he was hung by the Nazis in World War II. And in God's providence, he wrote a hymn just a year before his death. And it was a hymn that really spoke to the unknown days ahead. In the opening of his hymn, he wrote these words, "By gracious powers, so wonderfully sheltered and confidently waiting, come what may, we know that God is with us night and morning and never fails to greet us each new day." And beloved, what confidence is ours as we enter into a new year together. The Lord is on our side because of Jesus. We're reminded in this psalm, once again, to be still and to know that he is God. Therefore, let us look back upon God's faithfulness to us, supremely displayed in Jesus, and give him praise. And let us look forward in another year with confidence, trusting indeed that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Your steadfast love has been with us in another year of our wilderness journey, and your steadfast love will be with us in the year ahead. And so, Lord, we make our way into another year, and we thank you that you have hidden from our eyes the stormy waters that lie ahead. If you have appointed storms of tribulation, you will be with us in them. If you call us to pass through the waters of persecution or temptation, we will not drown. And if the floods of illness and death or famine fall upon us, you will be with us and will walk through with us even in the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, whatever lies ahead, help us to trust in your holy name. And may you glorify yourself in us, glorify yourself in your church, whether in comfort or in trial. For we are your children, and we are chosen vessels always ready for your service. Lord, hear us, we pray, and give us the strength to look to Jesus Christ. For we pray these things in his precious name. Amen.